The Cat Attack Podcast. Kerr's Hire, local for over 30 years.
Welcome to the Kerr's Hire Cat Attack Podcast for the final time in season 2021. We've taken us at least 11 days to dust ourselves off. It might have been 12, actually. Maths was never
13,
strong.
Benny.
13 days. Well, that's how long, Kingy. It's been an extraordinarily large broom has been required to dust us off after the schmozzle that was the Optus Stadium preliminary final, where Geelong were absolutely pizzled. And that is a technical word for being spifflicated, destroyed, humiliated, embarrassed.
Spanked.
All of the, ooh, love the air, like a bit of, generally don't, well, not when it's maybe when it's happening to your team, but generally don't mind a little bit of sort of, you know, high up in the air, down onto the rump type action. But Cat's got plenty of that on in that prelim, Kingy. It was look, they had the virus and all that. We hear that. And obviously, that's certainly not going to help. But they were. It was an exclamation mark, I reckon, Kingy, on this group's capacity to win a premiership.
You don't think they can go again in 2022?
They'll go. They'll probably play in the finals. They aren't winning the premiership.
No.
Not with that group.
No.
Who are all going to be a year older.
Yep.
They're going to wheel out the same game plan, which doesn't score in finals. Well, Jimmy Bartel was scathing, wasn't he?
Didn't miss.
Wow, just suggested that the Geelong were going nowhere with that game style.
I have said before that Jimmy and the coach aren't the greatest of
mates. No, they're not. Well, I'm not sure there's a reasonably long queue in that. Especially, and it's growing.
Yes.
It is growing. They are evacuating. The alarms have gone off inside the hub there at Geelong in the inner sanctum. And the abandoned ship.
Three men down.
Yes, and all the assistant coaches have gone.
So, we're recording this only 20 minutes after it's been confirmed
that
he's gone. But he's not going anywhere.
No, he's not.
He's having some time off.
That old chestnut.
Yes.
Yeah, as if someone won't. When somebody goes down there and just sort of schmoozes him with sort of a lovely ground Kenyan coffee and just says, look, maybe you sign here, there's 130, 150K in it for you. And he goes, yeah, you know what, that's probably, I've had my freshen up and I'll be back into it. So I wouldn't be reading too much into that.
The CEO's gone. Well, the CEO was going anyway.
He's
but he's gone from the club.
We haven't even got one at the minute, have we? He's not there yet.
No, Hock doesn't. Well,
so who's actually running the Cats?
I actually don't know.
There's nobody.
No.
Well, the coach runs everything, so he'd probably be running it.
No. No, I think
he
on a break.
He runs the whole ship though, doesn't he?
He's on a break.
He's on a break too, is he?
Well, yeah, he would be.
Well, he went on one at quarter time of the granny, but of the prelim. But look,
Geelong was shot, Benny.
They were shot. What do you mean by shot?
Like they limped into that prelim in the end, really.
Well, hang on, they
got well beaten. They got Geelong started, and I reckon I said it in the North Melbourne game because I didn't call the North Melbourne game. I reckon I said in the GWS game, things didn't look right. And I was proven right. They got beaten there. They were poor against St Kilda, but St Kilda are no good. They lost to Melbourne. They played one good quarter of footy. They got pantsed by Port Adelaide. They copped GWS coming off a 6-day break, flying from Launceston to Perth, and with injuries, with no Greens, and a couple of others missing.
They weren't convincing. They still won. They finished. Yeah, I get what you're saying.
A good side would have put GWS to the sword.
Yeah, but it's the same. It's Groundhog Day, isn't it? Geelong are good in the home and away, and then somehow managed to play their worst final football in the finals. Mm. Isn't that happen most years?
It's been happening for a decade.
Well, I mean, last year they made the grand final, so that's probably a little harsh, but predominantly, what's Chris Scott's record in finals?
Oh, it's 7-13 or something like that.
So it's less than 50%.
Oh, yeah, it's well less.
No, well, that'd be 50-something percent.
No, 7-13. 7 wins, 13 losses.
Oh, sorry, I was thinking 7 of 13. 7-13.
Yeah.
So it's 30, that's about 33%.
It's closer to 40. Let me just...
Oh, wow, it's gone up a couple of percent.
Let me just...
sort of inflation there.
I don't have it.
So... And the club keeps trumping up his record in the home and away. No one gives a stuff about your record in the home and away.
He's 10-15.
There you go.
Yep.
So that's not too bad.
So it's 40%.
40%.
Yeah.
It's putrid. It's nowhere near.
So he was 3-0 in 2011, and he's been, since that time, he's been 7-15.
Yeah.
Since 2012.
It's, I just think that, yeah, look, it was a horror night, wasn't it? It was hard to believe it was actually happening. I mean, you thought they might lose, but not by 14,000 points. And Max Gawn, goodness me, he was having a field day.
There's nothing we could do in that third quarter but marvel at what Max Gawn.
He was absolutely.
He'd never kicked four goals in a game before. He'd never kicked four in a game.
And he kicked four goals in a season.
And he kicked four in a quarter.
And he was running out of the midfield like Maurice Rioli. Mm. And if you look in the background, you know who's standing about 20 metres away watching it all happen?
Rhys Stanley.
Yeah.
Mm.
Just standing there watching it, thinking, geez, that wasn't a bad goal.
Yeah.
That's my man.
I'll just continue
to stand here sort of spare dick style. The fallout, Kingy, obviously. The three assistant coaches have gone.
Yep.
The coach is not going.
Well, no, he's got a year to run on his deal.
Would you suggest that... So, okay, this is a scenario going on here, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And this is going to go either one of two ways.
Yes.
So Steve Hocking is taking over as CEO, okay?
Correct.
He has an intimate knowledge of how Chris Scott operates.
Correct.
So he is going to come in and either buy what Chris Scott is selling again.
Yep.
Which potentially means he could be signed.
Yep.
Because we heard Simon Lloyd say... at about round 13, 14, 15, I don't know exactly the round, that Chris Scott would be re-signed over summer.
Yep.
Didn't he say that?
No, he said that was the talks had started for that.
So talks have started. Yeah. So would they be on hold, you would hope?
They would be. That came after Steve Hocking was appointed, I reckon, that we knew that Hock was taking over from Brian Cook. Steve Hocking will have a significant say in...
But my point is that he and Chris Scott have a relationship.
Yeah.
So Steve Hocking's gone away. He's been the chief of
football.
Some will say he's done a great job. Some will say he's done a really poor job. Some will be in the middle. Some couldn't care less, right?
Yep.
But he's grown his profile is what he's done.
Yep.
Now, with that profile, does he then come in and have the capacity to stand up to Chris Scott and say, no, this ain't the direction we're going and we are doing X, Y, and Z, because I'm not sure that that has been said to Chris Scott too much in the recent past.
Yep. I think Steve Hocking, what's the phrase that's been bandied around?
So which way do you think that'll go?
I think Steve Hocking will have a significant influence on the pathway the Cats take.
Do you think Geelong fans would have been happier if the three assistant coaches stayed and Chris Scott left?
Yes.
No, I agree too.
The pervading sentiment.
Is Chris Scott isn't well liked within the Geelong community, is he, in terms of, as a football coach?
As
their coach, their football team.
Correct. Yeah. Although, are they the people who jump on your social media saying, why isn't it the coach?
Yeah, potentially.
Are they your silent, are they your loud minority?
Yeah.
And is there a silent majority that aren't saying anything?
Yeah. Because
but you don't see the, you do see the defenders of the coach, and some make some very good points in terms of his coaching. But the majority of, you know, what we've seen on social media, and look, yeah, take social media for what it's worth. A lot of keyboard warriors, you know, a lot of faceless people who hide behind avatars and stuff like that. But the Geelong fans you speak to on the streets, the text messages that both you and I get going, what the hell's going on at the Cats?
Yeah,
and former players are actually asking that. I'm getting former players going, what the hell is going on? And you and I have a fairly good handle, I reckon, over the player base that runs sort of from retired in the last 5 years to probably through to those that played in the 80s and 90s. You and I, you know, have contacts, friendships, relationships with a lot of those people, and they shake their head. Now, we can easily sit here and fire pot shots. That's simple. You know, we can do that. But we've also got to reflect on the fact that the Cats give themselves the opportunity
to get there. Yeah.
So it's easy to say, oh, they failed again. Well, I suppose you've got to weigh it up. Are you happy to be there to fail, or would you prefer the Richmond Hawthorn model where, you know, win three flags, but, you know, era's over, we'll regenerate and we'll come again?
Yeah, well, and I agree with all that. And the thing, the Cats have given themselves a chance, and they've topped up each year, and they've the most recent final series surely put an exclamation mark on all that. That is gone now.
Yep.
Geelong, I don't think Geelong are winning the premiership with that group.
No.
They can't possibly improve next year. Couldn't possibly with those play with half the team more over 30.
Yep.
Not a snowball's chance.
It's only if some of the kids would have come on really quickly.
Oh, but who are they?
Well, it's giving more footy into Narkle, who is staying.
Yeah, that's extraordinary. That's good, but Kruger's going.
Close will get better.
Yeah, he's not. Yeah, he will. Yeah, yep. He's a good player.
Close,
like him.
Close will get better. Simpson will get more footy.
Hopefully.
Well, if his body can hold up. So you see that. Hopefully you see Cooper Stevens, although jury from talking to people out a little bit still on him.
Can Parfitt improve?
Yes, Parfitt definitely can improve. Parfitt's going to be a good footballer.
But those other players you're talking about are all were exposed in finals to a degree. Some of those
Close senior, wasn't.
No, Close wasn't. He was okay. But some of these other players and even the wisdom of... and nothing.
But like defensively, Geelong is still going to be good.
Yeah, their defence is not that old.
Yep. The forward line still...
No, that's what I'm saying. They're going to win enough games. But the issue will be is that they will probably finish 6th, 7th or 8th. Maybe win a final.
Yep.
They're not winning the premiership, but they're going to end up with pick 16 again. So, and my point, and nothing against...
Well, not if you finish 6th, 7th or 8th. But yeah,
you're going to get the other picks get factored in and the father's sons and
the
points get added up by Tom Petrovsky from ComSec and you end up with and you end up with pick 39 and you've actually finished 13th on the ladder, which is what happens. They're not getting anything in the top 10.
No.
So and nothing against him, but this is where I thought there's an opportunity. Sometimes you pull the trigger too early. Cam Guthrie re-signed on a 4-year deal.
Mm.
I don't understand it. He was one that you just let go and pick up your pick at the end of the first round.
Mm.
And because he's coming, because that pick or whoever the young players are in the midfield who you want to play are going to be playing alongside Duncan, Dangerfield, Selwood, Menegola. So they're playing against with experienced players. You're not bringing in kids to play with other kids.
No.
So you could afford to lose somebody who's not part of your plans going forward.
Yep.
Yet they re-sign him on a 4-year deal. Mm. He's 29.
Mm.
Till he's 33. What? I don't know how that can possibly... How any person who hasn't had a frontal lobotomy could possibly think that that is a good deal.
Well, somebody at the Cats obviously does.
Who's making that decision?
Well, it's the list management team, isn't it?
Brian Cook?
I don't think Brian would have been involved in... Well, they'd be asking the question about dollars. I thought 3 years would pull it up.
My understanding is he's not on big dollars.
Yeah.
The dollars are irrelevant.
Yeah.
I just think it's more of it was an opportunity to not to just wait and see what happens.
What would you have got for him?
Well, when they let him go, he was an unrestricted free agent.
Mm. Would you get an end of first round for him?
I would have thought so, yeah.
Yep, because you were going to offer him.
I would have thought you'd get pick, 20.
Yep.
I don't know, roundabout.
Right, so because Geelong hold now, their highest pick is pick 30. Unless they do some moving around.
Jordan Clark?
Well, Jordan Clark's probably going to hold the key to Cats getting higher up the draft.
Do you reckon Justin Longmuir knows about Jordan Clark?
I'm not sure.
Yeah. Anyway, he'll probably go there and be a good player. I mean,
well,
Jordan
Clark's met with Justin.
Yeah.
Met with him last week.
But of course, you have those meetings. You're going to say all the right things, aren't you?
Well, you'd hope.
You're not going to say, look, maybe got ahead of myself a bit, or maybe he does.
Well, if a bit of self-awareness.
Oh, I love that. Yeah. Love a bit of self-awareness. But he's the one that, you let him go, somebody develops him, he'll bite you on the ass.
Mm.
Geelong are not in a position to let go a bloke like him, yet they're going to lose him and Kruger. I actually thought Kruger... But they've kept Lockie Henderson. This is the trade-off.
They haven't kept him.
Well, for the last 2 years, they have.
Yeah, well, they brought him back.
My understanding is that Chris Scott wanted Lockie Henderson.
Yep.
It wasn't a unanimous points decision.
Yep.
Mike Tyson sort of Buster Douglas style, when Buster just ripped him open, and it was a unanimous points decision. Buster won.
This wasn't a fight involving...
This wasn't
a fight involving no relation.
My understanding is Chris Scott was in the minority of wanting Lockie Henderson. In terms of wanting him, the majority...
Didn't want him
or
back.
Some didn't want him to return to play.
Some or majority, Ben.
Did I say...
Some or majority.
What?
Some or majority. You've said both.
There were some within the ranks who weren't overly pleased.
So the majority might have had the final say, but you're saying some didn't want him in.
Some didn't want him in, and the coach did, and the coach basically said, "This is what's happening. Yeah, this is how we roll."
But up until 6 weeks ago,
I maintain that he. What have I said all year?
Well, refresh.
All year, that Lockie Henderson shouldn't be in the team.
No.
Colajasny, second defender. Colajasny had, I reckon, an average year this year. I don't know. He didn't develop. But that's probably because he's maybe not playing the role that he should be playing.
Yep.
Blitzarves as your fullback, but we're trying to play Blitzarves in the ruck, and we're trying
They didn't play Blitzarves in the ruck.
But they did at points.
Yeah, but not
only when Reece Stanley had his pants pulled down.
But not significant amounts of time this year.
No, but he needed to be a permanent fullback.
Yeah, but Geelong didn't lose games because Mark Blitzarves went up into the ruck.
No, but they did they win any?
Oh, I'd have to go back and watch the tape.
No, I don't know that they did.
Geelong, my point
is he's a defender. Lockie Henderson, he was exposed.
Yep.
Big time. He was exposed like Harry Taylor was the year before.
Yep.
And they hung on to Harry Taylor for 2 years, probably too long.
Oh, one. Oh, one year for Harry.
His final series in the previous year wasn't great either.
No, but...
These guys I reckon you get seduced by this narrow ground here. And when
it's easier to defend.
And the guys like Henderson and Taylor are classic examples of being able to read the play a little bit. They get away with it here. They don't on the bigger grounds. Mm.
The wider grounds.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, the ones with more width.
Yeah, love a bit of width. Wider than a Biggest Loser contestant.
So the Cats have already Tahini, Jarvis, Jenkins. So yeah, they don't impact.
That was a good getting Jenkins on. That was good.
Two games.
Yeah, that was great. It was fantastic. We got Josh Jenkins in because...
He was only ever brought in as a backup.
Well, but he's taken a spot. This is my point. So he's taken a spot in your list to play a develop a bloke.
But there's blokes. Yeah, but there's blokes. Well, nobody was developing the last 2 years anyway, Benny.
Oh, you're developing the system. You get to know the system. Surely they're not just standing around playing PlayStation all day because they're not playing a game. They're getting developed in a system, surely to Christmas. And you're developing Josh Jenkins to sit in the sulky Teddy Demler style and do ads for the harness. I don't understand it.
Teddy Demler.
What?
Teddy Demler.
Three spiders wide when Teddy goes three spiders wide and just pulls the plugs at the 400 and old Westburn Grant just explodes. I don't understand getting... And then say, we didn't have to give up anything for him. We got Jack Stephen as well. What the hell? That's just rubbish. But do you know what the other thing that I noticed?
Mm-hmm.
Is there manipulation of people within the media? Did you hear anybody sort of... I heard a number of people absolutely pizzling Ken Hinckley.
Right.
After Port Adelaide's loss.
Yep.
Did you hear anybody doing the same to Geelong? To the coach? Towards the coach? I didn't.
No, not...
It was a bit weird.
Not, no.
It's a bit weird. I reckon there's some nice relationships there that limit that capacity for that to happen.
Mm.
So, but Kenny got absolutely...
Yeah, the South Australian media is a little bit more voracious. Ooh. Two-team town.
Are you voracious?
I'm ferocious.
Have you got a voracious appetite for...
You are an idiot.
For the honkshy wonkshy.
Yeah.
What?
How do I deal with working with you?
Anyway, I just thought it was a bit weird. It seemed to be a bit skew-if, the sort of sentiment towards Kenny. And they laid an egg, Port Adelaide, don't get me wrong. Geelong laid an egg that was of an equal sort of size. And
Port Adelaide was just... I actually couldn't believe what we were...
That's why I reckon the Bulldogs are a chance. Everyone's thinking Melbourne are home.
No. Our sentiment changed in the K-Rock box by half-time.
I think the Bulldogs are a real chance. They're up and about.
Mm.
You know, the other thing I noticed too, that when I was just watching the finals and we were sitting back in the hub, love being in the hub, is that did you notice how well, this is what frustrates you as a Geelong supporter.
You do get easily frustrated.
I do, because I think it's time for change. And one thing that really irked me was the post-match press conference in which the coach talked about, it sort of intimated as a throwaway line, 2010 Geelong got beaten in the prelim, got thrashed by Collingwood, and then they came back and won the flag, as if sort of intimating that this group could potentially come and do that. What was the big difference, Kingy? 2011.
The coach changed.
Yeah. Correct. He left that bit out.
Mm.
Unfortunately, that was the bit he just left out of the commentary.
Yes.
But I was going to say something about what were we just talking about. I got off track there.
No, I'm not sure. The hub. You're talking about the hub.
No, I was talking about you watch the Bulldogs against Port Adelaide. Okay, they go over there. They're the underdogs. Pardon the pun. And
well done.
They come out of the blocks absolutely brimming with confidence, didn't they?
Yep.
Mitch Hannon played like Flame and Steve Johnson in the first quarter, didn't he?
Yeah.
It was like he was playing in a practice match. His hands were clean. The whole team, they played with enormous confidence. They went in with an unbelievable plan to stop Alirelia.
Yep.
Where
was Geelong's?
I don't... But anyway, I thought, wow. They had... I reckon they had, I'm trying to think who they had on earlier. They had Josh Shackey.
Shackey, yep.
Who played, and he actually played well.
Yep.
So the team around him played well. He played his role. They cut down Alia. Geelong had Gary Rowan on Alia. A known finals struggler.
Yep.
It was extraordinary. Who by half time of the game was playing in a position he hadn't played since he set foot in Geelong in defence.
Can I just put forward another, and obviously we've got to, let's look at it from a range of angles. The other thing is too, the Cats were, Cats went deep in 2020 and obviously all that time in the hub, etc. Quick turnaround for this season, got caught out in round one. Will you agree that the Cats, maybe the last 2 years, have caught up with them a little bit as well?
No. Aren't they a wily veteran team?
Yeah, but still, like, you, there's a lot of, you know, mental exertion goes into it. Obviously, physically, they get... there's got to be a little
you
bit of...
You can't measure all that.
On, but, I can only but, go what I but see. Look, but look at 2020. Richmond went deep into 2020 and...
Yeah, this year they were...
Missed the finals. Brisbane
won three of the last four flags, though.
Well, yeah, but Geelong...
Geelong played in one granny.
But Geelong have gone just as deep most of those years.
Yeah.
Yeah, so...
But they haven't won three of the last four.
No, I know. Brisbane went deep, like, went to a prelim last year and, you know...
Got horrendous injuries. Yeah. And got beaten by the Bulldogs by one point.
The Cats had some injuries that hurt them. That Stewart injury was massive.
It's half back.
I know, but it's still massive.
It is massive, but I mean, does it...
It wasn't the difference between them.
It's the way they played.
Yeah.
They got pantsed.
Yeah. Oh, I'm not arguing that, but I'm just saying...
Brisbane finished, only got beaten by a point by the Bulldogs and probably would have gone over and had a good crack against Port Adelaide, may have been in the grand final.
Yep.
So Geelong went over there to play Port Adelaide, who hadn't beaten, what, one team in the top eight?
No.
No, they beat one, didn't they? They beat the Bulldogs in the final round.
Yeah, yep.
That was it, maybe one.
No, top four.
No, top eight.
No, I'm sure they... No, they beat Sydney during the year.
I reckon they were the only two wins they had against top eight teams. I know their record against top eight was
ordinary. They beat Sydney and they beat... who else was in the eight? I'm pretty sure they beat Essendon.
Bulldogs.
Pretty sure they beat Essendon over there. It was top four. And the only top four win was to knock a team out of the top four.
And they got... Well, it was... Anyway.
Do you want some questions, Benny? Because there's lots.
I love questions.
Call to Daddy. It's no question. I'm officially broken. We as Geelong supporters for the past 10 years have been conditioned for finals failure. I've always liked Chris Scott, but it's time. He has a plan B, but not a tight finals plan. I also believe honesty will be better next year than this current season, and for one simple reason, team cohesion. Thanks for the boys during lockdown. It's been shot, but changed one of the vows, or the only vow, and for about 30 minutes, you let us forget about it all. Next season, you can take over the official Geelong podcast. No, I don't think.
Do you reckon we get Chris Scott on K-Rock?
Probably not.
When was the last time he came on K-Rock?
Yeah, I can't remember.
It was 2016, wasn't it?
It was the day you had vertigo in Canberra.
Well, that's 5 years ago.
Yep. Howl of 41, surely with that loss we are done. We've consistently lost in the same fashion in prelim final week. The game plan doesn't stack up. We cannot entertain bringing in older players. On the contrary, surely we need to get ourselves in the first 20 picks of the draft by offloading someone. Well, I think Clark holds the key to that.
Yeah, but he hasn't... I agree, but has he done enough to get a pick that high?
Well, it depends on how the other move... A lot's going to happen, I think, fall off the back of what happens with Chera. So Chera leaves Freo, goes to Carlton. What do Carlton give up? How does that all get packaged up and look?
Well, I 100% agree. They've got to try and get the highest draft pick they can, and it's got to be a rebuild, and it's got to be a, you know, there's some guys there that they probably make calls on. I mean, Dalhouse and Sean Higgins are both contracted. Are you trying to fashion them out?
Well, I don't think. Well, you've already lost.
Well, you're saying to them, you're probably playing in the twos.
Well, you've already lost three. Geelong haven't been known to have significant turn. I think they turned over 11 one year. So there's nothing like that. You know, so Kruger's been linked to Collingwood. Fort's been linked to Brisbane.
I can't believe they're losing Kruger. He will bite them red raw.
But he wants to play forward.
Well, Tommy Hawkins is not 40, not 21.
No, I know.
But Tommy Hawkins he's been good. So he wants to play forward.
He wants to play forward.
So he's demanding wherever he goes, he's got to play
forward. That's where he's... Collingwood said... Collingwood have probably said to him, there's a role for you as a forward.
Well, probably, but Geelong could probably say there might be a role for you forward as well, but we really love you in defence, and a lot of good players have been forwards. Well,
where's his role in defence? Who's role?
Well, Henderson's not there.
No, but you say
Colajasny's not. It didn't exactly have a great year, and I'd have to concede that his spot, as we stand right now, is.
Are you comfortable, Benny?
He's shaky. Yeah, I'm on a sort of like a.
You want a banana lounge? When you want, do you want the ombre solaire?
Who? Did Winnie Cox play?
Don't you remember the ombre solaire? That was sort of your coconut sort of oil.
Oh, when you get covered in oil. I don't mind. Do you know when we go to the races, right, and then there's a bit of strapping going on? Do you know what they get out? Do you know what they sort of pretty up the nags? Prior to them heading into the mounting yard?
What do they do?
They get the baby oil out.
Really? Yeah.
Well, usually brings back some lovely memories.
There's a lot there from Howler 41. We have a lot of questions, so we'll move on. Sticksman just wanted to know, I hope you guys will be brutally honest. Benny has been. Anth Christian, thanks for making the footy season more enjoyable. What were the mitigating factors behind the team's dramatic form loss over the last 6 weeks? They went from premiership fancies to ghosts. Chris Scott suggested something, perhaps COVID lockdown related, in his post-match presser. Any inside info? Well, from that time, we've worked out that obviously there was a virus that went through the Cats preliminary final. But prior to that, the Cats.
Septemberitis.
The Cats didn't look good from the North Melbourne game.
No, they fell away. And
even the Richmond game at the MCG against an underdone, undermanned Richmond, Geelong weren't convincing that
they
day.
They don't, Kingy, I don't know what it is, but they don't. They have a great ability to sort of hit finals. Playing poorly after looking really, really good at certain points in the home and away. And what, they win 11 in a row?
I think it was 11, yeah.
Yeah. And then they hit the finals and they're going like bastards.
No, it wasn't 11 because they got beaten by the Swans in round 8.
They won a 10 of 11 or something.
Yeah, yeah.
And then they get to the finals and they're playing like bastards. Now, is it the game style? Well, potentially. Because what was the stat? 5 of their 6 qualifying final losses, they've kicked their lowest score for the year.
Correct.
So that suggests to you there's some problem there against the better teams. Mm.
Does Steve Hocking go to the AFL demanding actually a harder home and away fixture and say, because Geelong benefit from picking off interstate teams and lowly Melbourne teams down here.
Yeah, but I mean, that's fine.
Well, that's great, but you're not conditioning yourself, are you?
Well, what do you want to do? Move all the home games to Melbourne?
No, no, no. But start seeing some.
They're not going to bring Richmond and Essendon and Collingwood down here.
Well, they did. They brought Essendon this year.
Well, yeah, only because we're in the middle of what they refer to as a pandemic. So otherwise, it'd be no.
No, they were coming here anyway.
Well, that's because they're crap. They won't be coming there next year.
No.
I'll give you the tip. So that's just the reality. And I mean, people say, "Oh, you know, Geelong playing down here." I think as a team, it doesn't impact them. Individually, some players benefit, and as I mentioned, Henderson's probably one. Harry Taylor's been one too. That on the smaller confines, they're able to compensate and look okay, but then struggle when it gets onto a bigger ground. But I mean, it didn't seem to worry the Cats 10 years ago, did it?
No,
playing down here.
No,
that didn't seem to worry them at all.
No,
so
weren't playing as many down here though.
Well, the team of 10 years ago would beat this team by ten goals. Yeah. On the steal.
NQ Flog, thanks for the effort in making this podcast. The game plan doesn't stand up in finals, but most people already knew that. I love Chris Scott's passion, but his stubbornness is infuriating. If they're going to use the virus as an excuse and nothing will be learned and we'll see the same results next year. The virus didn't make them stink it up against Port 2 weeks ago, and it's definitely not the reason the Cats are 1 win, 6 losses in prelims. Not much they can do with the list now. Most blokes are contacted next year. Now that Cookie has gone to Carlton, my hopes that he will take Scott with him. Well, that's not happening because Michael Voss was today.
I think we'll get I reckon we'll get an understanding, Kingy, very, very early, because the first question you'd be asking Steve Hocking
is
that Simon Lloyd suggested that talks had started to re-sign Chris Scott, who would be signed over summer. Is that happening?
But that's going to be the big narrative at Geelong next year. If that's not happening, guess what the conversation for a lot of next year is going to be?
Where?
Chris Scott's future.
That's what I mean. But that's the first question
that
you're asking Steve Hocking
when
he does his press conference down here.
Yep.
Simon Lloyd said that Chris Scott talks had started and he would be re-signed over summer. Is that happening?
Yep.
And
is that exactly what Simon Lloyd said?
That was reported. You go back and have a look.
Yeah, well, not by us, But
he was on an interview in a Geelong game down here, and he was on another station, and it was reported.
Yep. Okay.
So ask him that, Kingy. All if you don't ask him that, you will be spanked, because you'll get an idea then very early how the relationship is between Chris Scott and Steve Hocking. And if it's standoffish and Chris Scott and Steve Hocking is saying no to Chris Scott, their relationship will go south real quick, I reckon, and he'll be out the door.
Mr. Catman.
Not this year, next year.
Mr. Catman 01, thanks for the year, boys. Benny's often suggested the midfield may be better without Danger in it. You haven't suggested they'd be better.
I said they function better. And I still say
that. Is saying function better mean it would be better?
Well, I suppose in a roundabout way. I just think it's more efficient. They work both ways better. That would be my, and that's not a knock on. Dangerfield's a great player, don't get me wrong, but you can't have too many of the one player in there, and you know, he's lost a yard, hasn't he?
Yeah, this year.
He was trying to take blokes on, and they were actually catching him, and it was like, wow, hang on. So, yeah, I just think he's a great player, but I don't think the mix. You've got to be very, very careful of the mix you have in there when he's in there.
Do you think a more splitting of his role is now needed?
Well, the problem is, Kingy, is that he doesn't really play forward with any forward nous. So when they talk about, and you hear the assistant coaches bang on about it all the time, the leading patterns and the plans and the process and the structure, I'm not sure Paddy Dangerfield plays with a whole lot of plan and process and structure. So when you play forwards, you need to work in with your other forwards and you need to have a plan. And I'm not 100% sure that is his go-to.
Yep. Bordolino, who's a regular every year, Geelong gets constant praise in the media for what a professional outfit in quotation marks, inverted commas. We supposedly are due to the fact that we always make finals, but on what possible basis is the word professional justified in reference to a team that has constantly for an entire decade been the side least prepared for the September heat? We've reliably played our worst football of the season in finals and on numerous occasions rocked up to these games so lethargic and lacking in the intensity level you need for these big games that we've been blown out of the water by quarter time. How is that professional? Surely it's the exact opposite.
Yeah, I agree with that to a point. I mean, Geelong have had a crack. They've had a red hot crack at trying to win a premiership, trying to buy a premiership, and there's nothing wrong with that. They've got there. They've got close. They've given their fans plenty to cheer about, and including me, we've been critical of the coach and at times not so much his coaching, just his management and his style, and he's I'm not sure he's got a great personality that you're warm to, so. But I've never criticised his actual coaching. Geelong have given themselves a crack. All my point is now that there's an exclamation mark on that now. There's a new direction. There needs to be a new direction. But the problem Geelong have is, Kingy, that direction is going to take some time to reach because they've got so many older blokes who they're going to have to weed out over the next 2, 3 and 4 years that by the time that they're getting potentially inside the top five pick, that's 4 years away.
Yep.
And then there's another 5 or 6 years to build the team. Geelong are a decade away from challenging for the premiership.
You'll be 60.
Shit.
Footy fever.
60.
G'day, boys. Tough night on Friday. Still think we compete with some minor tweaks to personnel luck on the injury front.
We can compete. I don't agree. That maybe is part of the problem. Geelong will still be okay next year, but then I'd be staggered.
What will you do if Geelong played preliminary final or beyond next year?
I will get Chris Scott's face tattooed on my dut.
All right.
If Geelong win the premiership next year.
No. That's not what I said. I said if they got to a preliminary final.
No, not buying that one. They could fall into a prelim and they play against a team that gets 17 injuries the week before. They're not winning the flag.
So if Geelong win the premiership next year, Ben Casanelia will have Chris Scott's face tattooed on his backside.
Yeah.
You're comfortable with that?
Am I comfortable with it? What's sitting on him?
No.
No. Yeah, I'll do that.
All right. Just had two thoughts, questions. How can Geelong inject talented kicks into the back six? Mm-hmm. I get very nervous when Blitzarves, Henry, Colo, Atkins and Buse have the ball and you can count on the taller defenders to have at least one direct turnover that results in a goal each week. If we want to play a slow, methodical style, then Geelong needs to put a more talented kick back there. It's an indictment on the team's talent when a 198 centimetre key forward is the second best field kick in the team behind Duncan.
Yeah, I agree. They do need some... They do need to find. I mean, Stewart's probably their best kick out of the back half. Tui obviously is another one who's been pretty good this year. I mean, he's on the wrong side of 30 as well. Would he be 30?
32. He'll be 32 by the time. Yeah, I think he's
a good kick. Busey kicks a few out in the full. He's actually not a bad kick.
He's not a great kick.
No, he's not great. He's not bad. Kolo Jasny, I agree, can make you very nervous, and he plays very safe, and he's aware of his pitfalls, so he doesn't take that kick on every now and then that you'd like him to, because I think he's a bit nervous about cocking it up. He's a very good one-on-one player in the air. Maybe I'm biased, but he's like a Dylan Grimes. Dylan Grimes ain't a great kick either.
No.
Very good one-on-one. So, you know, you've got to have those players around. And Blitzarves, unfortunately, you get real Bruce Nankervis when he's got it. Because he needs his man to take him to the ball. He's very good then. But if he has to think and think quickly in congestion, it's not his one wood. It's more of his like 64 wedge, to be honest with you.
I've been really disappointed in Cam Guthrie's lack of accountability and pressure this year. Guthrie's often caught ball watching while his direct opponent charges forward from the stoppage. He's become an accumulator of the ball, but I don't think possessions are damaging enough to the opposition. What Geelong needs is to get him to sacrifice his game a little and play the team-oriented defence on the opposition's midfielders. Do you think a change in the midfield coach might be what Guthrie needs to remove these bad habits that are creeping into his game?
Yeah, I agree. I don't know about the defensive bit. I'm not, you know, perhaps sort of when you're calling the game, you don't maybe watch it to that level.
We leave that to Newty.
Yeah, so I don't know about that. I'm not saying that's right or wrong. I do agree that he's got into this habit of getting a lot of cheap possessions and then kicking it 8 metres sideways and 4 metres backwards and then getting the kick back or coming around the back for a hand pass and then kicking it, you know, 13 metres sideways. I do think that has really crept into his game, and it's just about how many possessions he can accumulate. I'd love to see him get 10 less possessions and be far more damaging going forward, because he actually is quite a good kick. Mm. He can cock it up every now and then, but he's actually quite a proficient kick. So I'd love to see less of getting the ball and more damaging metres gained. Because I do 100% agree with that. A different style of player, but you know the player who used to do that, who they got out of his game? Well, two players I can think of. One didn't play for Geelong and one did. Mm-hmm. Cameron Ling started doing that.
Yep.
Getting it and kicking it sideways and getting it 800 times a game and doing absolutely nothing.
Wasn't damaging.
Got it out of his game. And the other one that did it and did it for quite probably a couple of years and then was a triple premiership captain.
Trent Cotchin.
Yeah. I reckon he did the same thing and he got that out of his game. I'd love to see, and it'd be really interesting to see, Kingy, that's the other discussion. Who the hell are the Cats going to get to coach? Have you got the almanac? You might be able to open up because you might be next in line. I don't know that they're going to be queuing up to run down there to
take an assistant's role.
Yes.
Foxdog 50, hey boys, thanks again for another year of the podcast. It's great to hear you and you guys answering your questions as it's time. The only way as members and supporters to get our views across. Disappointed Friday night. Honestly wouldn't care if we drop out of the finals for 3 to 4 years and build a team up from the draft. We'll win the odd upset of a game, but you get some satisfaction of seeing a team build from scratch. While we have a few in their 29-30 age bracket can help guide them, we won't be wooden spooners, but if it makes us finish 10th, for example, rather than keeping topping up for 4 to 6 years straight, I'd rather see us top two for 2 to 3 years, grab one flag, and then doing it for 7 years being top four. It's a good point.
Oh, yeah.
There's a lot there. I did ramble through that very quickly, but he makes a point of, you know, yeah, would rather drop off and build again and
100%
be that early 2000s.
I think there's something, but you've always said that, you know, Brian Cook has always said the Geelong can't go down the ladder. They've got to be in the finals. You've said that.
Yeah, well, no, Brian said that.
Yeah,
well,
do you think that is astonishing?
Well, I think financially, Geelong has to be competitive.
So there's a team in the AFL that has to play finals to exist.
Oh, well, no, it's not as simple as that, Ben.
Yes, it is.
No, it's not.
I think Geelong, if you came out now, Geelong have had a glory period.
Yep.
They've had three flags.
Yep.
And they've had a sustained period in the finals. Okay, it's been frustrating, but they've had a sustained period of success.
Yep.
If you came out and said, we are going to rebuild this team.
I don't know if that would go down well with...
Oh, what are they going to do? Oh, no, we can't. So let's keep getting these blokes in and finishing seventh.
I'm only just...
You can't have your cake and eat it too.
No, no.
You've got to be one or the other.
Depends on the cake.
I, for one, would love to see Geelong put their hand up. And the thing is, this is not going to be something that they can do overnight. This is because of the way the list is currently set up with all these old blokes on deals that are still going.
Yep.
So, but I would love to them to say, this is the direction. We are going to... There may be some hard times along the way, but we need to... Recent history suggests that you win a premiership by having top-end talent. Melbourne, Bulldogs. I mean, they're stacked.
Yep.
With top 10 picks, aren't they?
Yep.
Well, so, but, and I for one would say that's, I love seeing kids develop.
Yeah.
When your kids come in and play, I love that.
Yep.
And I think Geelong, after this period that they've had, would say, yeah, okay, you know what, let's get some kids in and let's enjoy the ride. We can still see kids like DeConning, Stevens, you know, that Nick Stevens, Simpson, Narkle.
Yep. Parfitt.
Parfitt. Yeah. Who else have we got?
Shannon Neal.
I like that Shannon Neal.
Yep.
They keep him. Tell me he's not going anywhere.
Well, I haven't heard, no.
He's a young kid. He's playing his first year.
It was his first year.
And I saw him play in the twos a couple of times. And he wasn't, don't get me wrong, he wasn't Wayne Carey. But he was a really good mover.
Got some ability.
Really good size and has some ability.
Yep.
I'd love to see these kids come through. Okay, you go to the footy and you get spanked by 15 goals. Great learning experience. So did Melbourne 3 years ago. But just to say, oh, no, we've got to stay in the finals. So, therefore, let's recruit 28, 29, 30-year-olds every year and then get to the finals and be absolutely ill-prepared to win one. How long can you keep doing that? So those fans that are saying, oh, we can't go down the bottom of the ladder, yet are the same ones are saying, well, this current way you're doing it now ain't working. So, wow.
Yep. Daz Broncos.
Oh, Daz is on board.
Yes. Once again, many thanks from the Big Footy Geelong board for running the Cat Attack podcast again this season. Thanks to Kurz Hire. He didn't say that. I just did. Thank you to Jared.
Jason.
You're an idiot.
Jared would be a bit downcast at the minute, wouldn't he?
He would be.
He borrowed that broom that we had to dust ourselves off with.
On behalf of all here, thanks for entertaining our questions and fronting up each week and allowing us to interact. Well, that's one thing we did do, Benny. We fronted up every week.
We interacted.
We're the only club board with regular AFL mainstream club-based interaction. And it's a privilege. We mean something to somebody. As for the destroyation, there's really nothing left of the carcass of finals hope we started the year with. Players are cooked, coaches are leaving or have left. Makes you wonder what 2022 will look like. All good things come to an end, and it'll be interesting to see if the venom of the recent losses will be tempered in the future as the winning percentage drops, as the inevitable changes that are coming to take a hold. Can the club just dust itself off and stand a challenge again, or is it more like Wile E. Coyote lighting a match only to see it's in a cave of explosives? And he's actually put the giphy in there. It's quite funny.
I've just said, Geelong will win enough games next year to be competitive, and they'll probably tease you and they'll win the odd game. You think, geez, are they a chance? And I think ultimately that you couldn't possibly expect to improve Kingy with the list the way it is at the minute next year. I mean, but you've got enough talent there to win games, so. What I'd love to see is have a plan. They need to have a plan, five to six year plan.
Yep.
Staggering how these guys are taken out of the fray.
Yep.
I mean, they did it. They had no qualms in getting rid of Bartel, Johnson, Chapman, Corey,
Kelly, Stokes.
They had absolutely no qualms in. They won three flags, those blokes.
Yep.
So they need to have a similar mindset with this group and say, okay, it may be some tough decisions, but in the interests of the club going forward and taking steps to winning a premiership, this is a decision that may not suit everyone, certainly may not suit the player, and it may get some fans offside for a certain point because they, a much-loved member of the Geelong team.
Yep.
But you got to make those decisions if you want to go forward.
Turkey Tom, no question. Thanks for the podcast. Thanks, Turkey Tom. Catters 28, for me, the rot at the club started when Chappie was made the sub on qualifying final day 2013, a disgraceful way to treat a champion and someone we needed out there from the start of that day. But I digress. Could you guys please explain to me why the club was so eager to get champions like Chapman, Johnson, Kelly, Bartel, but are now insistent on topping up with 30-year-olds like Higgins, Stephen, Jenkins, etc.? Something doesn't add up here.
Yeah, I agree.
Why did?
And I hear Mark Neild, our learned expert, say that the board are not responsible. That's not the right word. The board are involved in all this in terms of they're setting the direction.
Yep.
Of the club.
Well, no, then
do you find I find that slightly staggering?
Well, the board sets the direction of the club.
Well, if the board is setting in terms of your list management. If that's happening, that's frightening.
Yeah, I'm not exactly sure.
So the coach, I'm tipping, has a fair bit to do with fashioning the direction of what the board, what he thinks the board should veto. Wouldn't that be more likely to be happening? I just find it astonishing that a board is involved to the point where the list management, and they're saying, oh, no, let's get this. That's surely not.
No, I wouldn't have thought.
Wow.
Why has Guthrie been given a 4-year deal? Yes, he's the best and fairest winner, but he's nearly 30 as well. Wow. Don't know if I'd be locking him for that long. Wow. My reading of it is that it was 3 years at a certain amount of money, but he wanted 4, but the money difference between the 3 and the 4 is not too big a difference.
Well, that's if that's the analogy and that's your benchmark of how you're doing deals, you're in a lot of trouble.
What do we do with this?
You don't. So he's basically telling the club, I want the extra year, and they're buying it for a 29-year-old when you've just been smacked in a prelim. Mm.
Well, it was before that.
Well, exactly. So why not hold off?
Yeah. What do we do with the skipper next year? Does he do a Cochin and hand the reins over to someone else?
I don't think that is the worst suggestion in the world, to be honest with you. But I don't think that's going to happen. But I think that would be... Let's put it this way. I don't think it'll happen next year. I think there'd certainly 100% be... Well, Joel might retire at the end of next year.
Oh, yeah, he's only got one left.
Yeah, and then there obviously will be a new captain then.
But we love the skipper. Don't get us wrong.
His shoulders are tired.
He's got one more year.
Yeah, and I think, no knock on him whatsoever, but it's just human nature, but do you think that potentially the message of the coach and the captain has become a stale one? And that's not a knock on them. It's just a human nature when you hear the same thing year after year.
Let Joel play with some freedom.
And let him sort of drift off into the background. I mean, he's not going to ever drift off into the background because he's one of the great champions of the club. But just allow him to play the role, play his footy, enjoy his footy, have a different mouthpiece, have somebody else, offering a direction, offering him maybe a different voice, a different analogy, a different policy, a different thought process. Have that. And then he can just bounce off that. If he wants to, if the guy, whoever's the captain, feels he needs to ask Joel anything, that he's right there.
Yep.
But Joel just plays his footy, enjoys his footy, goes home, and he doesn't have the pressure of trying to lead.
Meetings and all that sort of stuff.
Do you think that would be the most ridiculous suggestion of all time?
No, it's not.
No.
What?
And somebody within...
Who's the next captain? If the captaincy was to change for next year, who's captaining Geelong next year?
Oh, look, King, I don't know. I'm not. You have no idea. We're only just picking names, and usually we pick names based on their ability. So we think the better the player, the better the captain they might be, which is an absolute fallacy. Look at Tom Harley.
Who would you want to captain Geelong next year?
Well, I don't know, because I don't know
them. Is Tom Stewart ready?
I wouldn't, Kingy, I wouldn't be at it. That would be like saying, do you think Charlie Rose will win the Melbourne Cup? I'd say yes, and I'd say I have no idea, because I don't... You don't know enough. We don't know them. We don't know what goes on in the four walls, do we? So we don't know who leads, who's got a strong voice, who's got the strong personality. We look at it on a Saturday and say, 28 possessions. Geez, he must be good. Do you reckon he'd be a good captain? Yeah. The best, well, supposedly the best player, wouldn't even come within a bull's roar being the captain, I don't think. You know who that is?
Pete Dangerfield.
Yeah.
Yep.
Is it a Stewart, potentially? Yep. Is it... I don't know. Is it
Blitzarfs?
For a year, potentially. Would they have a left... Is there a left field player when we hear... I don't think Mark O'Connor's ready, but we keep hearing about him being...
A leader.
But I wouldn't have thought that he is ready.
There's not much else outside of that.
No, I don't think... I think you're right.
Yeah. The Ranger. Excellent work.
Here we go. Would you make Tom Hawkins captain for 1 year?
Maybe. Durable.
Well, he doesn't miss.
No.
And he's in as good as form as any of those older blokes. Yeah. In fact, he's probably in... His last 2 years have been as good as
any. Does he want that?
No, he probably doesn't.
Well, family man.
No, he doesn't.
Likes to get back to the farm.
100% he doesn't want the cap. No, and it's a half a ridiculous suggestion, but no, he wouldn't want it. No. That's the thing. Jeremy Cameron be captain?
Yeah, well, it's not the most ridiculous.
Would you make somebody like... This would be absolutely left field. For 1 year, would you make Isaac Smith the captain?
No.
Okay, there you go. That's a stupid idea.
And I didn't say it was stupid. I just said you wouldn't do
I'm
it.
I'm just thinking of somebody who you have for 1 year.
Zach Tui.
Yeah, there you go. I'm happy with that.
Yep.
So maybe there are more candidates than we thought.
I only discovered the podcast halfway through, but made my drive to training each week worthwhile. I've tried to keep emotions out of assessment.
Training for what?
I'm not sure. You might play. But it is still too raw. What I do know is that I don't like this carry-on about having reached so many finals in the last 15 years. I'm old school. You win the flag or you're the same as the other 16 teams. How many clubs have their mission to just make finals? The goal is to win it. The fact we've made so many finals without ultimate success means there's something wrong not to win that last game of the year. I think it's psychological. Would you agree?
I don't know about psychological. I just think that the art of, and probably, you know, always maintain this, the art of really good coaching and a good coach is somebody who's able to elevate the team when the stakes are at the highest.
Yep.
And we saw it with Damien Hardwick at Richmond. He elevated some players in that 2017 final series that were, you know, Neville nobodies to a degree. They weren't, but, you know, they weren't stars of the competition. But, you know, guys made their names in finals and they played really well. And the one that smacked me in the face on last week was, you know, Mitch Hannon. I mentioned him earlier. He played like Flamin.
Steve Johnson. And you've used Flamin twice. Who are you? Alf Stewart.
Alf Stewart, yeah. I'll be in the...
You bit Summer Bay.
I'll be in the diner with... what's her name? Marilyn.
Yes.
So that's the art of good... is getting your team to produce its best foot, instilling them with confidence.
Yep.
And instilling particularly the younger, what you would classify as the second and third tier players, getting them to perform and giving them the confidence. I remember after the Bulldogs played in 2016 when they won the premiership.
Yep, at Swans.
There was a player, Kingy, who was left out and then came back in, played in defence for the Bulldogs. He's not there now.
Shane Briggs?
No.
No?
Tallish defender.
No, Joel Hamling.
No. Have a look.
Oh.
There was a defender there for the Doggies. He was a bit of a Barry Butler, and he got dropped. I think he played most games during the home and away. He got dropped for the last round or the first final, and then someone got injured, and he got back in for the grand final.
Let me have a look.
And
then.
I spoke to him. I think I must have been roaming booger in the rooms.
Were you down the rooms? Were you?
Yeah.
Fletcher Roberts?
That's him. Fletcher Roberts. And if you quickly have a look at his, he got dropped for the last round or the first final.
Just having a look
and
here.
And he played most games all year.
He got dropped after the final round.
Yeah.
And he played in the prelim in the grand final.
Yeah, so someone got injured there and he got a crack.
Yep.
But I remember asking him, I said, what did Luke Beveridge say to you in terms of being dropped? Because he played every game. And then suddenly the stakes are at their highest and you're out of the team. And do you know what he said? Have we got a drum roll? Can you install one? He said, Luke didn't mention anything about me being dropped or why I was dropped. He only spoke about what I needed to do to get back into the team.
Yep.
I thought, see that... So he instilled him with the confidence that he was still a required player. It wasn't about the negative about being out. It was the positive of how he was going to get back in the team and don't worry, you'll get a chance. So he kept him up. And that, I just...
You are a good coach.
Yes, he's instilling players with confidence. Geelong have the ability to win it, but for whatever reason, they fall apart. And that first final, they were so far off Port Adelaide. Their pressure, Geelong just had absolutely no answers for it.
The Ranger just says, in years to come, we'll remember the last 10 years as Hawthorn dominance, followed by Richmond dominance. We won't look back at Geelong making finals in so many of those years unless recollecting our ability to fail, the same as we look back at the late 80s and early 90s. This pain is not forgotten. I don't know the answer, but again, if I did, I'd probably be on the payroll and held to the same revere as Stephen Wells, who you may have heard of. Thank you, Ranger. We go over the page. Now, Pete, we were supposed to record last week.
Yep.
People were disappointed, and I just said, blame Benny and his full-time job. So if we roll from there. Stixman, club legend. Fill us in on what you know of Steve Hocking and his approach to doing business. He's no nonsense, and he's happy to shake things up.
Well, he is, but this is my point, and this will go, I've mentioned this, but, this is going to go one or two ways.
But being the AFL's football boss, where you are beholden to 18 clubs, as opposed to being the CEO of a footy club, are two completely different things.
Yeah, and he has a relationship, a close relationship with the current coach. Mm. So that will either be a good thing or it will be a very, very bad thing.
Danger handballs, we win. Thanks for the podcast. How brave do you think Geelong can be in planning for round one? Can we package Chris Scott Blitz and the Guthrie brothers to Carlton and get a draft pick and a young player or future pick back? Well, that won't be happening, as we know. Stuart and Henry would be amazing support on flanks for a young Kruger and SDK, which is to Conning, to be starting fullback and centre halfback next year. 20 games into those two, and Clark, Buse and Atkins to remain small backs. Clark's going.
So is Kruger.
Yep. If we want to get games into Stevens, Colo is on the outer and Hendo retires. Neil can trial as well. Up forward, Hawke, Cameron and Danger are mainstays, supported by Ruck, Asava, Close, Evans and Myers to take over games from Dell, Rowan and Higgins. No, Rowan will still be, I think, I know you're rolling your eyes, Benny, but Rowan will be still in that first pick in round one. No relation.
And he'll kick four goals against Port Arlington and then...
The Port defenders have done
his,
well.
If bring up his finals record, it's actually it's very unfortunate.
No relation. Parfitt, Duncan, Menegola, Selwood, Smith and Simpson are the on-ball unit with Markle if he stays. Markle is staying, signed a one-year deal. This did come through last Friday. O'Connor is a full-time tagger. There's not full-time taggers in footy anymore.
No, but
somebody to play a role on.
Yep, that'd be, I'd like that.
Ockenbaugh gets three games to see if he can scare that. Something that rhymes with duck out of a few. He's a big boy. He's a well put together unit, Steph Ockenbaugh.
Yeah, but is he any good?
Well, I don't know if we know that yet. The problem is he's had 2 years of development.
Tim Finicaro is well put together too, but he couldn't get a kick.
Stanley is buying his time, so we have 24 months to land someone, anyone, please. Trial the Greek, which is Sapatolis and Neil as well.
Yeah, Neil, come on. Let's. 33 is. Let's hope he doesn't go anywhere. He's a WA kid who went home because he was missed his mum, didn't he?
Fox Dog 50 had one more. Joel Selwood, if we're going to wean him out of the midfield and slowly put more younger mids in there, what other position could he play?
Yeah, that's on the bench. Now that he's a midfielder. That's the unfortunate thing. He can't play anywhere else.
Yep.
That's
Turkey Tom does suggest him going forward. Could you imagine the opposition supporters going ballistic as Joel gets head high tackles 20 metres from goal? like this.
He's been
cosmic energy with a great little avatar. Thanks for the year, Benny and Kingy. How do we start to sprinkle some more physicality and intensity among the group? I don't mind recruiting older players, but it would be nice to get some in who will bring a harder edge to the group and demand a bit more from their teammates. Are there any gettable mature age players out there that fit the mould? This would go along with getting more of those types through the draft also. Too many on-field nice guys at the Cats at the moment. Geelong are a nice team.
Do you reckon?
Yeah, I don't reckon they've got... Not don't have a hard edge. It's a, how do you frame?
Who does these days? Yeah. Have Melbourne? Who have Melbourne got? No one.
That's real. Yeah,
haven't got anyone.
Jones was probably their biggest.
Who are the Bulldogs got?
No, but they got blokes that are. Yeah, no, that's a good point.
No one has. Mm. Those days are gone. I mean, I don't buy all that physicality and stuff. I'm not buying that. They were outplayed, completely outplayed, and for reasons that you'll be able to dissect. There was many of them that comprise the fact, but I don't buy that. And we certainly don't want to be getting any mature age players in now. No, Chopper.
No.
Go get me the $10,000, Chopper.
Cash, no Chopper?
Yeah, cash. Neville.
Good luck to Charlie Rose for the rest of the spring.
Who's written this?
This is Cosmic Energy.
Oh, this is...
You might have some Cosmic Energy.
Now we're talking.
Okay, so Charlie Rose ran last Saturday.
Yes.
And unfortunately, as I rang you and said, I'm now calling your horse No Opinion because it was stuck to the fence.
Yes.
What happened?
No, well, she just... She ran really well. She ran third. Mm-hmm. She's not a Caulfield horse, I don't think. She likes the more sweeping bends than the core.
So she wants headquarters?
Yeah, she'll get back there on Saturday.
So
week.
Where does she sit Melbourne Cup order of entry after last week?
She's 40th.
But she's still 40th.
I know, they haven't changed it. So it'll go again on the second declarations for the Melbourne Cup are on the 28th of September.
So when does it run? You run the Bart Cummings?
Yes, Saturday
on
week.
The 2nd?
October the 2nd. And if she wins that, she's into the Melbourne Cup. She's into $26
in the Melbourne
Cup.
Wins that, she's straight in.
Yeah.
If she doesn't win, does she have to go?
If she doesn't win, she'd probably have to come and win the Geelong Cup.
Ooh.
Ooh. So, yeah, so.
You've had some big, you go from London Fog winning the Balland Cup.
To the Geelong Cup. Oh. And the Geelong Cup this year, I think, unfortunately for the club, well, not unfortunately, but I think it might be one of the more putrid editions of it.
Well, internationals lacking.
Yeah, there'll be no... And the Geelong Cup has generally, particularly the last 3 or 4 years, been a huge flavour of internationals.
Yep.
They won't be there.
No.
So it's going to be a local flavour. And the horses
You might have to beat something out of the Jamie Edwards stable or the Vin Milady stable.
Yeah, we'll be able to do that. That's the only thing I'm 100% sure of. That we'll give them Winburn. But the horses that are already in the Melbourne Cup won't be going to the Geelong Cup. So if you're already in,
you're not
going to the Geelong Cup.
Okay.
So I think that it could be a week. So we get two chances, King. You'd be lovely to win the Bart Cummings.
Yep.
And I reckon she'll start, just off the top of my head, still 10 days out or 9 days out, she'll start second favourite to Delphi, a horse called Delphi,
yep,
which ran second last Saturday. She ran third, it ran second.
All right, okay. Turkey Tom, I'm no punter, but I thought I might keep the horse in mind, but I thought Benny was saying Charlie Rose.
No.
Couldn't for the life of me find a horse by that name.
No, it was, and I think Nadia Bartel might have been on that one.
What?
Charlie Rose.
What? Thoughts on chasing Matt
Flynn? She owns that one.
Thoughts on chasing Matt Flynn as a ruckman from GWS. He probably starts next year behind Bruce Mumford if he plays. I think Mumford's retiring. And
surely.
On par with Briggs. I was really impressed with his hit-out work and marking ability when he was given the opportunity. He wouldn't cost a whole heap in terms of salary or draft pick. Otherwise, Ned Reeves from the Hawks is an option too. The Cats, I'm not sure what the Cats are looking at, big man style.
Geelong won't get anyone, will they?
No, I don't think there'll be much movement.
No.
No, no, it'll be pretty quiet trade week for the Cats.
Is that Sapatolis? Is that how you pronounce it?
Sapatolis.
Is he young or was he an older?
No, he's young. No, he was still eligible. He played NAB League this year.
Right.
So he was released back as a 19-year-old to play NAB League because he was a Cat.
So so at least they've drafted one. So whether or not he's any good, but at least they've got one there. Is he showing a little bit or not?
No, we haven't seen him. He only played against the AFL Academy and showed a little bit, but he was playing against kids his own age, those Academy kids. But outside that, I don't reckon he played another VFL game. But he showed some good signs in the NAB League. So he's coming from a long way back because he's been playing basketball.
Yep.
Turned down a contract to play in Europe.
Good. At least they've drafted one. So, that'd just be nice to get something.
Yeah. Benny, this has gone an hour and I'm done.
Yeah, I'm over and out, sort of, King.
Thank you to
Kurt. Yeah, thanks to everyone involved, King. It's been good fun. We've had a bit of laugh. There's been a lot of cutting room floor sort of stuff that has produced some frivolity that won't see the light of day. And if we were able to get that out, I'd probably be in a lot of trouble.
Yeah.
But it's been good fun, and we've had a few laughs, and it's been really good.
6 o'clock Saturday night too, Carrick Footy. We are bringing you the grand final, the Dogs and the Demons.
Yeah, I'm actually, I've sort of got over the Cats, and I'm, looking forward to it actually.
Yeah, maybe the having the week off's got us sort of out of funk.
Out of a who?
The funk.
I've never been in one of them. A funk.
Time to go.
Rightio, good luck.
Kurz Hire, Geelong's official Wacker Neuson dealer. North Geelong, Grovedale and Ocean Grove. KurzHire.com.au.